Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. In April, we had the pleasure of attending the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. And during that five-day period, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Big thanks to Enco and Benstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. In our 10th episode of this continuing series, we hear the conversation I had with the president and CEO of Saga Communications, Chris Forgy. Chris was promoted to this position about 7 months ago following the death of legendary broadcaster and founder of Saga Communications, Ed Christian, operating in 27 markets with 21 of the 27 in markets smaller than market 100. Well, Chris, first of all, thank you for squeezing in some time with me because I know how busy you are here this week.
Well, it's my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure.
And congratulations to you. This has been quite a year, both sad, but certainly very positive for you and Saga as we lost a great radio leader, but there was a great radio leader by his side who's now overseeing Saga. So quite a year, huh?
It was a year, Erica, because I think a lot of times people think when you lose a CEO of that capacity, that nature, and you lose him so quickly and unexpectedly like that, that you think, oh my gosh, our leadership team and our markets are going to run wild going, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And there was none of that going on.
Isn't that great?
Because we had a really nice succession plan, never published, but Ed and I always knew what the succession plan was.
Great.
And he gifted me with being able to mentor me and grow me and prepare me to do that job. Because when I walked into the job, they said, you seem pretty confident, pretty comfortable. I said, well, I wouldn't say comfortable, but I am confident because I've been doing the job for a couple of years as it is already. So,
well, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
So the NAB this year is celebrating 100 years of innovation. We're here on the exhibit floor. There's so much going on. For those listening, we're in multiple parts of this huge convention center in Las Vegas, and there's lots of sessions going on, and the theme is disruption. So when we think of disruption, and here you are leading a very successful company, is there a specific innovation or a project that you're involved with at Saga that you're most excited about?
Yes. The simple answer is yes, there is.
Good. I love this.
And there's a cord of electricity running through our company right now that I haven't seen. I've been with the company for 25 years, and I've never seen anything quite like it. You know, I've listened to a lot of earnings calls over the years, as you have, and we hear a lot of discussion about, well, our digital product is this, and it's up here or down this much. And we went back to the fact that money comes from one place, customers. So our focus has been on providing resources, renewed resources, to our team members and our markets to do a better job working with their customers.
Right.
And so we provided, as you've probably have heard, many resources, and we're just getting started. We've done an awful lot in four months where we've added resources or have a renewed relationship with Nielsen, where we have now ratings in all of our markets, even our unrated markets. We've hired one of Nielsen's employees to be our director of storytelling and research. So we've done that. We've renewed our e-commerce site. So I call it going back to the future, because we're taking these resources that we had that heretofore had kind of been ignored or maybe not maximized, where maybe our friendly broadcasting competitors are maturing in that area. And we're kind of new to the game. The digital space is the same way. A lot coming on that space particularly.
So are you going to be driving a DeLorean soon?
Don't put it past me.
Well, share with us a little bit about Saga. You're in multi-markets, but share the structure of the company and what it looks like now.
So we are a small but mighty corporate office. We have about 22 employees in the corporate office. Ed one time said, I won't name the broadcaster, but called him and said, I'd like to buy your company. And Ed said, I'll tell you what, if you can name all the general managers in your company, I'll sell it to you for a dollar. That is somewhat of the culture that's in Saga. anyone at any time can pick up the phone and call me.
That is such a legendary station. story. Is that a true story?
It's true. Absolute true story.
Because I've heard that story.
It's a true story.
I didn't know if it was true.
It's absolutely true. Ed confirmed it many times. And so, you know, if we're seeing something really good happening in a market, I make it a point as part of my purpose to pick up the phone and call that person directly. Mm-hmm. And I always used to say to Ed, you don't know the power that a call or an email or something from you has in the markets. He goes, No, we don't. Yes, we do. And I've seen it firsthand. So we have a relatively small corporate office where we interact an awful lot. And, well, first of all, we have, 27 markets. 21 of our 27 markets are smaller than Market 100. So we are very connected in the community. We like to be where we can make a difference in the community. And we go belly to belly with the people in the community that are business leaders. We do about $2 million more a month in local direct business than we do in agency business in the company. In 24 months, we've doubled our digital output, and we're only at 7.5% of our total revenue, so we have a lot of headroom there. But it is an organization that's built on finding really good leaders, and we've done one of the things that I think we've done the best job at is finding the leader in a market that's just a little better than the market that they're in. For example, we have people like Paul O'Malley and Phil Zachary and Wayne Leland, who replaced me,
yes,
who are in our markets, were in our markets and are in our markets running those markets. So we have sophistication that comes from big market radio, and we apply it to some of the concepts and things that we're doing in some of our smaller markets. And the fact that we have, you know, three of our largest markets, Milwaukee, Columbus, and Norfolk, when they get a cough, the company gets a cold typically. But now our smaller markets, with some of the resources we provided them, are lifting the other markets when they're having trouble. So it's kind of the rising tide lifting all ships.
I love to hear that, because personally, I have such an issue when, and I did a panel yesterday and the title was Small and Medium Markets. And I said, full disclaimer, I didn't name the panel, because I have a problem when someone says small market.
I do too.
You know, to me, they're all strong local markets.
They are. In fact, I was in a sales meeting visiting a market not long ago, and one of our managers referred to a couple of his stations as our secondary and tertiary stations. He said, we have two primary stations, and we have a couple of secondary or tertiary stations. I pulled him aside after that meeting, and I said, you have four radio stations. That's what you have.
Right.
Not too big and too small. So I don't think we'll hear that anymore. But
yeah, I don't think so. Oops.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's funny. How's business this year?
I learned a long time ago when people ask me that question, my response is unbelievable, because they don't know if it's unbelievably good or unbelievably bad. I will tell you that our business is terrific. I'll go into a lot of detail on the numbers themselves, but one of the other areas of focus that we've had is to build our national team. In the past, we've really kind of thought of that as, don't really need it. It's kind of that transactional business.
If
can't
you get
control
it, you
it,
get it.
Forget it.
Yeah.
But there's an opportunity not to control it, but to impact it. And so we've provided more resources to our national team. And we've already seen significant growth in just 4 months.
That's great.
In just that space.
You know, SOG is a public company. I don't know if everyone knows that. And there's a lot of disruption going on in the world today. And, you know, the financial markets are, boy, wouldn't it be great to see some growth, consistent growth? You know, it's up and down and up and down. So from your crystal ball, where do you see the rest of the year coming out? Because we hear so many conflicting remarks that that we are going to have a recession, we're not going to have a recession. But what are you looking at? What are you thinking about?
The smart aleck remark is we don't participate. Mm-hmm. So I liken it to an airline pilot that they're coming down the runway at about 180 miles an hour and barreling down, and they're getting ready to take off. And when those wheels lift off, there's no more discussion about what's on the ground. It's about where we're going.
Right.
So we keep our team focused on the things we can control and where we're going. And we don't try to do too much too fast, although I've been criticized recently, being called calling the new look saga. That's a compliment, because we are moving very quickly. We have a phrase at the company called not now, but right now. So when you're prepared and you've done all the thought process and vetting of the process, you move with purpose. And so I see really good things for us this year.
Well, that's such an interesting thing, because just being able to make a decision and moving quickly, it's so important. And we hear so many times that we may have ideas and they keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, yet it never comes to fruition. And it sounds like you're just moving full steam ahead.
Yeah, I say if you're waiting on me, you're backing up, because it's we have to move quickly. We have a lot of catching up to do. You know, I always said that I would not always do what Ed did or how he would do it, but I'll do what's right. And I believe that I really have a real clear vision of what the company needs as it relates to our individual markets and to the industry itself. And we're going hard and fast with purpose.
That's so exciting. So exciting. The NAB is celebrating 100 years. It's just hard to believe.
Can I let you on a little inside information?
No, you weren't here the first year.
Nor were you.
No.
But we are now members of the NAB, and we haven't been for a number of years.
Well, that's exciting news. So. That's great.
Yeah.
And hasn't actually been announced, but we're excited, too, that you're going to be joining the REB board.
Yes,
so
I am.
I'm really excited about that.
So am I.
But we talk about innovation. Is there something that you're most excited about? I mean, there's so many wonderful things happening around us, but is there something that you're most focused on in your organization to keep moving forward?
Yeah, I've touched on a couple of them, and I would say the renewed resources that we've provided to our organization. They've kind of been, and they've said as much, they've been drinking out of a fire hose, because for the longest time they have not had these resources.
Right.
We have one manager in one of our markets, a big market, that has 7 new pieces of resources. She came from Spencer, Iowa, to Des Moines, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Her name's Stephanie Heidi. Great young manager, great young leader. She had never seen these resources, never even seen them. One of them, she didn't even know what it was. We're talking about media monitors and Nielsen and Scarborough and
tools and
all
data,
the tools
and all
which
kinds
they
of
haven't,
things,
haven't
right.
had. And we've won business recently in these smaller markets where we didn't have ratings before. They knew we're pretty good in this market, but they didn't know how good they were. So we're building a Saga network of stations that we're going to have as a result of having data in all of our markets. And again, our digital space, we're growing fast and furious there. We have to, but not at the expense of our core competencies.
Right.
I was asked by Gordon Burrell not long ago, are you always going to be anything more than a radio company? And my response very quickly was no. And he kind of sat back, and those that don't know me or don't know Saga, they'll see that on the surface and say, well, that's just the same old, same old. No, not at all. But what it is, it's completing the circle as a complementary piece, these other resources to our core competency. When you see this, a lot of the digital growth that's taking place, you've seen it. A lot of times you'll see, well, look at our percentage of our total business. Well, did you look at the core competencies and how those have dropped? Because a lot of times those they grow other areas like digital at the expense
right.
of their core business, which is and always will be for us radio,
mm-hmm.
period.
Love the commitment. Is Saga a growth company?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So it would not be unusual down the road to hear an announcement that you might buy and go into other markets?
Not at all.
That's great.
Love to get into the markets where we are already in and maybe bolster some of those. But I heard it said the other day that we're not in an environment where there are any buyers. Au contraire.
Ooh, love that. Love that. So, Chris, what are some of the challenges? You know, there are so many opportunities, but as a leader of our industry, what are some of the challenges that you focus on within Saga as the leader now?
Well, you know, we've all been to those cocktail parties when somebody goes, hey, so, Erica, what do you do? Oh, I'm in radio. Wow, is that still around? People still listen to radio? That's one of the biggest challenges, and there's not a lot to do to change that. We have to impact the markets and the communities in which we live and work in our own way, and that's all we really can do. We're just not big enough. Mm-hmm. And all the great work that the NAB and the RAB and the tireless work that you do for our industry is ridiculous. It's wonderful. But sometimes it's hard to change, to turn that boat. You know, it's a big boat. and a lot of perception out there. And I think we're doing a good job of changing that. Working with CATS and some other organizations to start rebuilding things like endorsements. I was told the other day there was a test done in Miami, and it was looking at spot radio business against endorsement radio business. Right. And they were. Did you hear about this?
I did.
I was amazed at what the outcome of that was. That an AM radio in Miami outdelivered all of the other ones with endorsement. Now we're talking about going to take AM radio out of our cars. Are you kidding me?
Well, but it reinforced that particular study, the importance of our content and how our content matters.
It does. I mean, we have 18 news talk stations and markets, and and to lose that kind of access, they're tied to translators. That's significant. And I was talking to Curtis about this morning. The NAB is really doing a wonderful job. A lot of things I wasn't aware of.
Right.
We're fighting the good fight.
Yeah, it's a fight. But
it is a fight.
We've got to, a lot of people take for granted there's so many areas of the country you can't get FM.
You're right.
I think Curtis and his team are very focused on it. And, of course, we will support them in any way we can. And we're going to think good thoughts.
Yes.
You know, you talk about going to that cocktail party and someone may say, oh, someone listens to radio. But, as an industry, what should we be focused on? There's so many issues. And sometimes we are all going off in different areas. But if there is one issue that we could get everyone to focus on, no matter the market size, what would that be?
Stay connected. Get connected, stay connected to your community. Let's stop all of this. You know, voice tracking is one thing, but let's stop offloading our personalities. It's happening all over. I read about it every single day. Have a commitment to the community and focus on your core competencies. I walked through here trying to find this booth this afternoon.
Right.
I was amazed. I have a little bit of ADD, so when I walk through here, I say, wow, what's next? And I think we get into those situations, too. What's the next biggest and brightest? Guys, say, like they said in The Karate Kid, focus, power.
And, of course, you'll hear me say this more and more, but frequency. Frequency matters.
It does.
We do all this great work, and then we did it once, and then, well, how come that didn't work? Well, no one heard it. We have to keep saying it and keep saying
yes,
it.
Yes, you do.
Oh, it's so funny.
What was the sales trainer that said, I don't even know if he's still around today, what you say times how many times you says it is all that matters.
Well, that's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Back to the business, Chris. At the REB, we spend a lot of time focusing, and this is through feedback that we've received from our sales advisory committee, but on certain industry sectors, if you will. And so if we take certain business categories, the more we can provide very specific data and information to the sellers, whether that be on the automotive industry or education, that helps the sellers, arming them with tools so that when they're working with clients in those business categories, that they're category experts in a sense. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, are there any business categories that at Saga that you're seeing real growth that maybe has surprised you? And on the other end, are there categories that have been disappointing that you're seeing just aren't?
Could I just do a real quick, this is an unannounced commercial for the REB. If our leadership team are not engaging with Jeff Schmidt and Brooke and Dolores on at least a monthly or every monthly basis to show what all the RAB can provide to an organization, shame on them. They should resign.
We don't want them to resign.
They should if they're not using it.
I understand.
Not them. I'm talking about our managers.
Okay. I understand.
But that being said, we've been working on these emerging categories for a number of years. HVAC, contractors, plumbers, electrical engineers.
Yeah, these home services are huge.
They're huge. That's our number one category, is what you would call home improvement.
Right.
And typically you'd say, well, the number one category in radio today is, automotive. Not at all. It's like fifth. And healthcare is another big piece of what we do.
Let me ask you a follow-up on healthcare, because that's such a big category. Are there certain areas of healthcare that you're seeing? Is it from the hospitals? Is it nursing homes, what areas within healthcare are you having success?
So really it is the, I would call it the self-improvement area.
I see.
Cosmetic dentistry, aesthetic and plastic surgery.
Right.
Vision, those kinds of things. We're seeing a lot of that in the broadcast sector. If you look at the digital sector, it's a little bit different because they are actually recruiting for cancer patients for trials, or they're recruiting for schools to go, because people, students today, fewer, unfortunately, are going to colleges, universities, and getting involved in trade schools.
Right.
So they have to recruit for that, too. So from a digital perspective, that is an emerging category.
Okay.
And then from a traditional radio standpoint, some of the ones that I mentioned, you know, we signed an annual just recently for an invisible fence company that for the dogs, you know.
I hear those are amazing.
Yeah, they are. They're quite good.
I love that. Well, that's great. So as you may or may not know, there's two areas that we focus on at the RAB from a messaging standpoint, and I would love to include your thoughts. And the first big one that we get our arms around is that radio matters because.
It's much like we talk about when Ford's getting ready to take AM radios out of the cars. We're the conduit to the community. Talk about public safety, number one. But also connecting and having, you know, they talk about the big reason people use radio. It's to be connected. People want to have that connectivity. And you see, like, even from an advertising perspective, some of the bigger manufacturers are getting off of some of the static digital stuff they've been doing and moving back to audio. And because of the fact that we are the conduit, that's why it matters. It always has and always will.
And radio works because?
Radio works because it is the conduit to the community. But it's the last, I learned this a long time ago, and I believe it to this day. Radio is the last, that's why cars are so important, by the way. It's the last voice that someone hears before they make a purchase. And no other medium can do that. None. Zero. So I'm a little bit old school when it comes to that, and I'm proud of that, frankly, because I don't think that a lot of the, you know, maybe some of the newer people coming into the industry understand that. And fortunately for us, we have a group of people in our organization that are passionate. They have purpose. They love what they do. I mean, we did an employee survey recently. We had 89% of the people respond, and we had up in the high 70s of things like loving to come to work, and they understand what contribution they make to the organization and how it impacts the organization, and they love the leadership. So it was something I did not expect to see like
that. Isn't that great?
It's wonderful. And so I'm really excited
about
the
matter.
Future. They do matter. That's number one.
Now, before I let you go, because I know you have a lot of different places to go to, you wear this orange bracelet.
I do.
And I thank you again because you sent me one.
I did.
But I want you to tell the story because it's such a great story.
I was talking to someone many years ago, and he said, what is your professional moment that you are most proud of? So honestly, this one, the story I'm about to tell you, came into second place now, because becoming the president and CEO was my the thing I'm most proud of in my life.
Certainly.
But second, and a very close second, was every year my staff in Columbus, Ohio, would provide me with a Christmas gift. And they were always something that was very particular and very personal. And this year, I hadn't heard anything about it at all. And so I walked into a Christmas party, and there's, you know, we have 50 employees, so there was 100 people in the room. Everybody had their dinner. And they said, well, it's time for us to give you your Christmas gift. I get chills talking about it right now.
I'm getting chills
listening to this. And at that point, they all lifted their hand like this, and it had the orange wristband, because my tie's to University of Tennessee, that's why it's orange. And it said, WWCFD, what would Chris Forgy do? That is the most proud moment I've ever had, with the exception of being the new president and CEO of Saga Communications.
Well,
I'm very proud of that. Humbled.
That's an amazing story. And I have it actually hanging in my office, and I see it every day.
I love that.
And a couple of times I've thought, what would Chris do? So thank you for allowing me to be part of that in a peripheral way.
Oh, thank you. And I've admired you and respected you for a long time, and it's just good to finally, this first time we've during this time here, had an opportunity to meet, and really happy to have that opportunity. Well, thank you very much.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I feel the same way, and I'm so grateful that you were able to squeeze us in and join us on Radio on Main Street.
I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you. Oh, we'll bring you back.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Losing a leader unexpectedly is never easy for a company or business. But Chris has stepped into his new role with both feet firmly planted on the ground. He's keeping the Saga team focused on the things they can control while keeping the path clear for where they're going. He reinforces that radio is the conduit to the communities we serve, and that's why radio matters. And he reminds us that radio works because we're the last voice someone hears before they make a purchase.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.